Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. And but before we start, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without their support, we would not be able to share these stories. They help us deliver original interviews with Atlanta's business leaders, and this episode is no exception. Today, we have with us on Atlanta Business Radio, Sanjay Sehgal, and he is with MSys Technologies. Welcome.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for inviting me, Lee. It is very wonderful. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about MSys Technologies. How are you serving folks?
Sure. See, MSys is in the business of product engineering services for technology companies. So what it means in a simple word is that we build products that people use, but not with our name on it, but we build for others who sell them, right? So so many of the products in the cloud space, in virtualization space, in loyalty reward space, actually are built by us, though they may not have our name on them.
So now how did those relationships come about? They come to you with a challenge and then you kind of help them with the technology side of it and they do the sales and marketing side?
Yeah, so those companies, I mean, majority of, in fact, something that we definitely take pride in, that six of my clients are unicorns, which means they are the companies with $1 billion plus valuation. So these are, many of these clients were startups before, and as they started building their product, they found some challenges that they either wanted some help in because they didn't have enough manpower, or they felt the challenge was something that someone else can manage better than them. So they came to us and we kind of helped them with those parts of the product. And then, of course, they, private label, or they put their name on it and sell it. And then, I mean, as a process, they become very successful companies. So six of our clients are unicorns, and many of them have gone public through the journey of working with us. So I think that's kind of it's a hardcore technology space that we are in, and we solve a lot of problems that are challenging and that are fun to solve, rather.
So they come to you with a challenge, and then you help them at first on a project basis, or do you eventually become their technology side of their business? How does that interaction work?
It could be either or. I mean, in some cases, we handle on a project by project basis. It depends on the company, and in some cases, we are their technology provider. In some cases that also happens, right? And in some cases, it's also the case where they move on to a newer product and their existing product, we end up developing further and managing, or vice versa. So there are, in our business model, we don't distinguish between one from the other. We like the kind of folks we hire on our staff. They like the challenges that customers throw at us, and they get to work on variety of things rather than just working on one thing, right?
So now, how did this business kind of develop? Because you're kind of the guy behind the guy. They're getting all the glory and you're doing a lot of the work. So how did this business model come about?
They also take the risk. I mean, you know, it's like any other. I mean, a developer wants to build a big building and he may hire one big contractor to develop the whole thing, but he may put his name on the building or he can hire a bunch of contractors, right, to do various parts of the building. I'm just taking an example like that. And I mean, the building may have his name, but people who have built it, they have done all the hard work, right? But he has taken all the risk and he has put in initial money, right? So I think that's kind of business model has come about in a similar way. I have done a bunch of technology startups here in town, and I raise venture money in those, and of course there's a risk, some succeed, some don't. So that risk is always taken by the company which is doing all the front work, and the company doing the grunt work may not necessarily have all the risk, but you know, they do the challenging part of technology, right? So we came about to this model through my own association with startups, and I always felt that there are problems that I wish I had a partner who can solve these problems for me, technology problems for me when I was doing startups. So when I kind of done with 2-3 startups, so I ended up starting that company myself, which was solving problems for others without having the risk of facing the markets or the money raising part of things, right?
Now, have you learned from being around kind of huge successes as well as some not so huge successes? What are the qualities that make a good startup? Can you tell, these people are onto something or this is not going to work out? Like, can you tell now just by looking at some of these startups?
Absolutely. And that's the reason why many of the startups like working with me personally or with the company I'm with. Because having done this and multiple times, I just ask them 5 questions, and after that, I know whether they will make it or not. and even if I may decide they may not make it, I may still decide to work with them. Right? I may have a hunch they may not make it, but let's work with them and see how it goes for various reasons. But I'm able to pretty much tell in the first 5-6 questions. They're based on their responses. I think the first thing generally pretty much is the people who are involved in it, And when I see there are many people who want to do startups just because they want to start something, but they may not have understood the requirements of the market, right? Or they may not have done enough market research to see that similar problems have been solved by others in some other parts of the world, right? I mean, they're just in their own little cocoon and thinking they have the best. They have invented the best things in sliced bread, but that's, it's a flat world now. I mean, as you see, it's a global market. And I mean, there are people working on software products all over the world, right? So that's, I think, so I would say the people and their good market research and who's backing them and how far along are they in terms of getting customer validation. I think that is another thing that really makes, a startup succeed or not. Whether they have good customer validation or not. I mean, you can build the best mousetrap, but if there are no customers for it, I mean, what good is it, right? So I think that these few things will generally tell me, where their head is at and where they're going to end up.
Now, you mentioned kind of the business climate today, between the pandemic and civil unrest. What are you kind of bullish, bearish? What is your kind of view on the economic conditions that we're facing today?
Sure. Lee, I was traveling overseas till end of February. I came back the beginning of March here, stateside, and I saw the big headlines that we have the record low unemployment in the U.S. 3-4 weeks, and we were record high, and the record has been kind of getting broken every week, pretty much, right? Except for, I guess, last few weeks when some people went back to their jobs. There was a time we were talking about, will we have a recession? Now, we are already in recession, right? So times are not good. They're bearish when I look at, how things are right now. But I am very bullish about the future, especially from the technology side. Despite all the slowdown and everything, MSIS as a company and majority of our clients, have been doing extremely well. There are a few hiccups here and there, but nothing earth-shattering. And because technology is going to be the savior now for the future. And the remote working, teleworking, remote telemedicine, remote education, remote collaboration. I mean, you name it. I mean, anything which has remote and tele in it, and you can add the next word, and then it's fine. I mean, even the companies like Uber, if their car service is not doing well, their delivery is doing well. Uber Eats. So I think anything that is to do with delivering, remotely working, remotely doing things is going to come back in a big way. It's going to just continue to grow. And I feel that there is a basic thing here in all this that will make economy come back with a bang. And that to me is, you know, I refer to that as the human urge. You know, and the driver for economy to come back would be human urge. And, you know, we do underestimate or overestimate human inertia. And I think the moment things open up, the moment things look better, people are going to come back to the shops, to the services in a big way. Now, they may not go back to the same service provider because many of them, as we see, are going under. But the need will be there. A new service provider will come to fulfill those needs. So economy will be good. So to me, I'll give time till the year end. And I think things will, you know, begin looking up in a bigger way, you know, in my opinion.
Now, in your work, you've got to travel the world. Can you talk a little bit about how the world sees America? What is the brand of America? Is this still a market that people are trying to get into, or do you think that our run is coming near an end?
I think I'll be honest. I mean, I've been here 30 years. You know, myself, I'm a first-generation immigrant. And I think the sheen of American life is really worn off now. I must share this. And I'm not going to sound any political drizzle here, but I think that things are not looking good. I mean, in terms of brand of America, I think now fortunate thing for America is that at least at the present stage, it's not that anyone else is rising up to take that place, right? That is not, I mean, in between it looked like as if China is fulfilling that role or Germany is, but right now everyone is struggling to take care of their internal problems related to Corona. So I think right now everybody is struggling, but I'm sure someone will rise up, you know, to kind of, I would say, to take that place. But I think America, unless it gets its act together, you know, I mean, I think things are, I feel I'm not very hopeful there. American education system is still the best in the world. And I doubt if anyone else can come close to it. That is, I think, definitely a very, very positive thing that we have got in our country here. But you know, a lot of other things which could, you know, I think they could be improved, but let's see what happens, you know.
Now, you mentioned the pandemic. The pandemic is kind of an equal opportunity crisis that it's affecting the globe kind of simultaneously, which is unusual in at least in my lifetime that something this kind of pervasive has, you know, negative implicated so many people at the same time. Are you seeing kind of businesses just kind of adjusting to this new normal to where this is just normal and they're able to kind of fairly rapidly make some changes that are pretty substantial to their business model?
Yeah, I think it is happening. It is do happening. I think of course, every business is different. I mean, we are already seeing that many, you know, in the hospitality industry, people are kind of adjusting in their way, but I don't know how much they can adjust because things are not coming back to the same level anytime soon, or doesn't look like, I mean, till we have the vaccine and people have been vaccinated. I think technology industry definitely has adapted. I mean, as I said, you know, work from home, I mean, reinvention of this whole process of work from home, definitely people are reinventing that. People are adjusting to that. I mean, in fact, in MSIS, we have told all our employees, don't expect to be back in the office, you know, in the office environment till end of the year. And I mean, in between, we may open, you know, shortly or for a small number of people, 10%, 20%, 30%, but we're not going to see, you know, the same normal, the go back to the old style of working and all that anytime soon. So, and same thing with real estate. I mean, some of our leases were up in some offices and we are, I think, taking a hard look at that. I think so. I'm sure real estate market, commercial real estate market will see some impact of that. I mean, the work from home will have its that. I think then other, I think, but at the same time, telemedicine and the delivery of the delivery services and all those, they are seeing a huge boom, right? Almost every day, most of us are getting so many packets delivered or various things. Earlier, we always used to think that, okay, we'll go to a shop and buy something. And now we always think twice before going somewhere. So we kind of, it's so convenient to order things. So I think there are some industries which will really come up, now through this situation, and some will suffer.
Now, you mentioned it earlier, this kind of creative destruction, this happens. This is just part of the deal when you're in business, and that's part of the risk that you accept when you're running a business. Are you seeing the people kind of accepting that more, that they're just know that, okay, this is tough, this is not fair, it's no fault of my own, but this is just the way it is. I have to pivot. I might have to get out of this industry. And right now, like you said, fine dining, nobody's going into fine dining, or not a lot of people, and it might not be for a while. So if they don't have enough cash to kind of sustain themselves through this, they may not make it. The airlines obviously are getting hit pretty hard, but it's not like we're never going to fly again. There's not going to be a scenario for the rest of our lives that no one's going to go on an airplane. At some point, we're going to get comfortable with the risk, and there'll be a vaccine, or there'll be something where we'll just go back and do this. But if you don't have the cash to survive, then it's difficult for you to be the one that provides a service. But somebody's going to provide the service. It's not like it's going away.
Absolutely. And I think these things that we have gotten used to over the last several years, it's not that they are going to go away. As I said, the real driver for economy to come back will be human urge, right? And I mean, I'm just dying to just get on a plane, get back on a plane. And I think the moment I feel it is safe, I'll be taking the first flight out. I mean, go where? I don't know. Go to some client, right. Some other office. I mean, I have offices many places in the world. So I think, yes, same thing with restaurants and everything else. I think we are just all, many of us are waiting for the right or the safe time to do so. And, I mean, things will come back from that perspective, I feel. And I think, but I, the bigger thing, Lee, in this, all this is, whenever such things happen, I feel they happen for a reason. I am kind of a believer in that overarching philosophy behind why things happen. I mean, everything has a purpose. Things don't happen at random. Things happen. I mean, if we have why we elected Obama, there was a reason. Why we elected Trump, there was a reason. So there's a reason and a purpose for all these things, right? We may not agree with that reason, or we may not like that reason and purpose. Same thing, Corona has a reason or has a purpose. Now, I think it's each one of us to decide what that is. What is there for me to learn out of this situation? They say never let a crisis go waste. I'm sure you heard that saying, right?
Right.
So, and I think it is for us to learn something. It has come to teach us. Till we learn, there will be COVID-19, 20, 21, 23, 24, whatever the numbers are, right? I mean, it has caught us, especially us in America and many other countries, totally unawares. We were unprepared for this, right? Now, I'm sure we all have learned one simple lesson to be better prepared for such pandemics in the future. They're not just for subjects from movies or subjects from Bill Gates research. They are real things that can happen in the real world. As an example, same thing for businesses. What is my business continuity plan? How important are my employees? How important are my customers? I felt, at MSIS we did that right in the first week of this. I think we made sure we always have had a very flexible work environment. So we could adapt to this new situation very easily because it was flexible work environment. Everybody had been unable to work from home or work from wherever they are. So we just said from tomorrow onwards, you're not coming till we tell you to come. And some customers were overseas or other places and all that. We started talking to each one of them and see how they can get back to their family. Some couldn't before the lockdown or before the flights, international flights stopped. So we said, just stay wherever you are. We'll take care of your families as much as we can, right? And as soon as things open up, you can come back. So taking care of your employees for a company, especially for a startup, that is the human capital you have. And I know some companies, just at the first instance started laying off people and all that. Whereas I appreciated those companies where the management took cuts in their salaries and the bonuses and dividends and all that to take care of the employees. I mean, that is a smarter thing to do. Take care of your employees, take care of your customers, and have a business continuity plan. And to me, these are the things that we need to learn for to handle any crisis that comes your way.
Right. And like you said, you know, these things happen for a reason. Maybe we needed to pause. Maybe we needed to take a breath and kind of reevaluate what's the most important thing, what's the best use of our time, and what's the reason we're here. Well, Sanjay, thank you so much for sharing your story today. If somebody wanted to learn more about MSIS Technologies, connect with you and have more substantive conversation about you, your work, or your team, what's the website?
It is MSIS Technologies, M-S-Y-S, Technologies, as you would spell it, .com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you once again for sharing your story today.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Lee.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see y'all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, we could not be doing this work without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.